Force will be with you. Always.
You know what's kind of funny? I just realized I don't know why it's starting again. I just realized that I thought that was the intro to the show, but that's actually the music intro to the show without the vocal part, and so I played the wrong one, so I can either fix that when I start it, but actually
I still like
cool.
It, though. It sounds really good.
I guess if you're listening to the show, you know what the show is. So welcome to the Alien Offensive. We're on episode 5, so we finally hit the half dime number. What do you call 5? I don't even know what 5 is. Our quintile show? No. I was trying to think of something cool for it, but failing miserably. So welcome to the show again.
That is a tough one. I'm not sure what you call the 5th.
Yeah, I don't know. There's a 4th. 5th. I guess it's just 5th, but like the... Yeah,
5th.
Yeah, I think maybe those numbers, those special numbers are probably only for like the 50s, 60s, 70s, those kind of things.
Yeah.
Anyway, so I am your host, Mark Ademus. You probably know me from the Sports Offensive, and sitting across from me is Nate Dogg from South Dakota, that you probably also know from the Sports Offensive. Pretty nice day out there, Nate. Going to do a little home looking later?
Yeah, I am so pleased with the weather the last few days. I couldn't believe it. I mean, last week we had nine consecutive days of 90 degree weather,
and almost every day was at least like 93 or higher.
Yes. So the last couple of days have been a big relief from that heat, and I'm glad hopefully we're getting a little bit of a fall.
Yeah,
I mean, you know, the fall is just so great. I love, you know, putting on my jeans and my sweatshirt and just being comfortable and my hiking boots, and I just really love fall. It's my favorite season. So
I think probably spring is my favorite season, only because I have more allergies in fall. But I agree with you. It's nice to have kind of the midpoint where the days aren't super long, but they're not super short.
Yeah.
The temperatures are moderate. You don't really get the extreme swings. And it's amazing the difference between like 85 and 95 is such a difference. And then from 85 to 75 is going from like warm to very comfortable. And then for me, 75 to 65. 65 is where it's like, okay, now we're getting into prime real estate. And then for me, anything from 45 to 65 is wonderful. But I always say the first day I walk out the door and I need to put on a jacket on my way to work, because, you know, we both work pretty early, so I'm leaving the house around, you know, 6-something. And if I have to wear a jacket as I leave the house, then it's my favorite time of the year. And that's coming up soon, because Friday I actually could have worn a jacket and not been uncomfortable. It would have been a light jacket, you know, but I didn't need one, but I could have worn one, and that's a very good sign.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know how cold it is getting at night, but I'd say it's probably getting down into the lower 50s at least.
At least, and I think Maribel said that she had some frost on her trash can. Now, she lives a little ways away from Denver, so she might be at a different altitude. But definitely nice to see after like a string of 90-degree days. So welcome to this Alien Offensive. We're really excited to be able to bring another show to you guys, and we've loved the support we've been getting online. And I'm working on getting kind of a website-ish, some Twitter feeds and things like that, where you can suggest topics to us, because that's what we would really like, is to be able to do topics people want us to do. And maybe we could even figure out a time to do the show where we can do it live so people could call in. Right now we don't, because we do both of our shows on Saturday, and we just can't post two live shows. So, but eventually we'll figure that out, especially when I move. Hopefully I'll be closer to everyone else who does shows with me. So the kind of today we're going to cover is the kind of the news that broke like yesterday-ish or just sometime last week, I guess, when Iger spoke about Disney slowing down their Star Wars movie production. We're going to review a couple of games for you. We haven't really got into games much, and we're going to start doing that much more regularly. We're going to do at least a game every week, I think, every show going forward.
Yeah.
This week, we're going to review two of them. One of them is the Marvel's Spider-Man, which I'm sure a lot of you have gotten. It's a lot of buzz out there. And we're going to do our review of Madden. The new Madden, of course, came out, as it always does, in August. We've bought the new Madden, I'd say, probably every year for, well, Madden 94. 5-ish.
Oh, I had 93 for sure.
So so 25 years or so they've gotten our $60. I guess it was maybe $35 back then, or $40.
Yeah.
game, you know, video game prices really haven't changed much.
No.
In the last 10 years.
They've been pretty consistent.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Which
I agree.
Nice. And,
yeah.
I mean, it's annoying when they try and get you to buy the $100 version of something, the special edition. And you're like, so what do I get? And they're like, oh, well, you get an avatar and you get a screen for your background and your PS4. It's like, oh, that, yeah, that matters. I think I still have Call of Duty 2 or something, you know, for mine. I don't care. I mean, why can't we change our name? That's what I want to know. Why can't I change my identifier, right?
I don't know.
It's really annoying, and Xbox lets
you. To track you.
Well, yeah, but you could still be the same account, you know? I mean,
yeah.
Just be like, oh, you used to be so-and-so or whatever. I don't care, but let me have a different name, because some people have these really cool names for, like, a new game, like, you know, like when Battlefront came out, and they got a cool Star Wars type of name, you know? I'd like to do that. I mean, my moniker is pretty cool, but and I still like it, and I'll like it forever, but I'd like to be able to change it just for fun or, be, you know, be known as something else or something, you know? Maybe they should do that. You can be as known, a.k.a., and then have a thing, and then if people look at your profile, they can see your original name.
Right.
Fine. Whatever. I don't care. I'm not trying to hide anything.
I don't know. Who knows
just
why
stupid.
They do that?
It's like for a while.
I mean, you can make another profile, though, if you want, on that.
That's what I'm saying. That's what people are doing. They're just get an email account and then make a brand new profile.
Okay.
But I want all my stuff on one. I want all my trophies and stuff on one.
Mm-hmm.
Not that I don't think I'll ever get a platinum trophy. Maybe with Spider-Man. I do like that game.
Yeah.
So we're going to do Spider-Man and Madden. It's Madden 19, right? Right. It's always a year ahead, right?
Yeah, it's always a year ahead, right.
And cover was
Antonio Brown, right?
Oh, I think you're right. I think it was Antonio. Yeah. I don't buy. I get the digital versions of everything now.
I get the digital versions of it. I don't own any games, so.
And if anyone knows, I'd love to know. I guess we're not live, so they can't call in. But I'd like to know how well the external drives work for keeping games, because I just don't have enough room. But I also want to know. I guess I want to find out when PlayStation 5 is coming out to know if it's worth even bothering with an extra hard drive, you know, or whatever.
Okay, so. For some of us geeks that aren't super geeks. what is one game? How much
storage
does that take?
So like I think Spider-Man is like 35 to 40 gigabytes.
Gigabytes. Okay.
Mm-hmm. Might be less than that. Might be in the 30s. Some games are big. NBA 2K was like 60 or 70.
Okay, I thought you were going to say like 100.
MLB, the show was like 80. Call of Duty was like 75. Battlefront was like 80.
And what is on that? Is it a terabyte?
Mine only has 500 gigabytes. Yours probably has a terabyte because you got an older one.
I'm pretty sure it's a terabyte. Mine's
an original from the first day it came out. So
so that's only about, 10 games? Yeah.
Right. Now, if you buy the discs, you can. It's not as much space.
Yeah.
But it's still. That's why I started going digital, honestly. The only reason was simply because I had to get up and change the discs, and I still would have to download onto my system 35 to 40 gigabytes of data.
Okay, so let me clarify, though. So 10 games, so if you. But you can erase one, right?
Absolutely.
I've done that many times. Well, yeah, I mean, that's the beauty of it, right?
But
who's playing more than 10 games at
one
time?
Yeah, but what if you want to save one? You're like, you know what? One day I want to do the final level on Final Fantasy. And I just don't have time to do it now.
Well, then make that your 10th game and keep 9.
But then there's a problem with the updates. So updates require between 50 and 60 to 70 gigabytes of data.
Oh.
And so then you have to have a whole space open to do updates for a game.
Oof.
Because it'll get rid of stuff after it's updated, but it needs that space.
Yeah.
I've had that happen a lot of times. Like, we can't update this game until you clear space. And you're like, fuck, I don't want to lose any of these games yet. Like, Resident Evil, I got off of PlayStation Plus. I had to delete it eventually, and I didn't want to ever delete that. I was like, dude, I could play that game 35 more times.
The original one?
Yeah.
Yeah, oh, yeah.
It's fucking
That's
fun.
One of the five, maybe even one of the three best video games ever made.
So good. I mean, and I didn't even do all this stuff the first time.
Oh,
and there's, you wouldn't believe the crazy stuff you can do on it.
Yeah, I mean, would you say it's an RPG-type game, right?
No, first player.
Okay,
adventure game maybe.
But there's a lot of puzzle solving and stuff on it,
sure.
Which is the coolest part about it.
Oh, I love that game. Everything about that game was great.
Yeah.
I'll never forget when I first got that was my freshman year in college it came out.
Yep.
And we had just gotten a PlayStation, and we just saw that game and we bought it.
So cool.
And it was the summer before school started, and for like, I'm not kidding you, at least like 18 to 20 days in a row.
Yeah.
We all came home from whatever work and stuff. But, you know, we didn't have class yet. And we just sat there and played that game, and we would get loaded, and we would turn like all the lights off. And we were amazed how many times we would jump because like they would actually get you. It was so creepy.
It was a scary game, yeah.
Yeah, it was just creepy. I love when they actually can pull that off.
Yeah, that game was incredible, way ahead of its time.
Way ahead. Yeah. Alien Isolation is very similar. I still think you need to play that one day.
I need to take some of those games home with me.
I don't have that game anymore, you can download it or buy it for pretty cheap now, $10 probably. Or you can watch on YouTube, Markiplier plays the whole game and has a little window with his face and then his talking, and then the game is the rest of the screen. Mm-hmm. He has the whole game. And I tell you what, I actually watched the last like third of the game. I didn't play it. I just watched him because it was so entertaining. He is entertaining. I don't like a lot of his videos bore me, but this video game ones are pretty good.
Okay.
One of these days I need to start doing that.
Yeah.
Or if you ever, City Skylines, that's another one where you can watch on YouTube for hours. Some of these people are so artistic and make something so beautiful. And I'm like, I can't even make the road go underneath this building and come back out without screwing everything up. And these people are doing like intricate systems for their garbage trucks so that they never like face traffic. It's just weird. Or not weird. It's amazing.
Sure.
But it's weird in terms of I can't do something like that. And, you know, we always kind of like to have a list also in these shows. Mm-hmm. And so we're going to run down our top 10 spacecraft from the sci-fi genre. And I think that'll be a really cool list. I always wonder how many people you give that list to and how many of them would come up with a lot of either Star Trek or Star Wars ships, because those have the most variety to draw from. But, like, I thought maybe people who like Stargate would like the alien crafts from those.
I thought about some video games, too.
Oh, that's an interesting idea.
Yeah.
Yeah, you know what was a cool one? Star Fox.
Yes. Star Fox was awesome. I also have, not on my list, but an honorable mention, is the Infinity on Halo.
Never played Halo.
Oh, it's cool.
Is it?
I didn't ever own an Xbox, but I lived with a guy that had one. And so I played enough Halo, like the original Halo. And it was kind of the first, like, you know, multiplayer, like online.
That's right. That was like before Call of Duty was around, huh?
I mean, there might have been some games before it, but I think this was kind of like the one that really sparked
that. What started the
third
person?
Oh, absolutely.
Shooter.
And it was cool, man. Shooter. And the spaceship that you were on and that thing was awesome. It was called the Infinity. Yeah.
And what was the main character's name?
Oh, jeez. I don't know.
Because something happens to him in like
Halo,
or four. No, but something happens to him in like three or four, and it's like a big deal.
I didn't follow it after the first one, but I know the premise of the whole game.
Like I said, I never played any of them, so I don't really know the story. I just remember the hoopla that you heard on the peripheral.
Sure.
You know, I've always liked to get. I think now I get Game Informer. I think it's the GameStop one. But
what was the game that came out last year that was like a bunch of aliens and different guns, and it was kind of a
Destiny.
That's it.
Man, that was terrible.
Oh, really? I thought you enjoyed it.
Oh, it's the worst game I ever bought.
Oh.
I was so angry. It was fresh and exciting for
10 minutes.
Yeah, 3 days.
Wow.
And then you realize that really nothing ever changed other than just getting new looking stuff, and that it was always just enemies that were the same as the last enemy, just more powerful. You just pump bullets into them nonstop and did almost nothing else. It was so boring. There was like no objectives that made any sense. It was like Smash TV, but without being interesting.
Mm-hmm.
I sure loved that game. You didn't play that in the arcade? Mm-mm. Smash TV, where you just had two controllers, and whichever way you pushed this one, it was shooting that way.
Mm-hmm.
And then this one was the way you ran that way. And it was like being in like Running Man, kind of, which is room to room of enemies. And then when you kill them, you get all this loot would just drop around, and you just pick up all the loot you could and then run to the next room.
Okay.
And then it was always a guy on it would always pop in, like the host, like, you know, oh, sure, they're going here now, or, you know, buy that for $1, or, you know, any kind of stuff. That was a great game. Let's see if they have that on. They probably have that on Steam. Mm-hmm. I should get that. That'd be fun.
I'm surprised places like Dave and Buster's haven't gone that route. Well, more they have more like rooms set up for you to go in and play like Madden against other people, or you know, even online. You know, just a room that has a system in it, and you can hook up and, you know, pay like a flat rate to use the system and play whatever game you want. And if you want to play online, you can create a handle. And I don't know. I think that would be like.
I would think you'd be spending too much money unless you had dozens and dozens and dozens of systems available.
Yeah.
And then you could have a whole set of chairs. And then, like, you could say, we're going to play a self-contained Halo game or Call of Duty. And have like 25 chairs or 20 or 30 chairs.
Well, yeah,
15
that's
versus 15.
Well, that's what I mean. And then you could have your own little sit and goes if you wanted to, like come in with a group and do like your one little group.
I'm just thinking that it would probably be hard to get it used enough to break even.
Yeah, or create your own world, you know,
right.
And come in and just make this massive world where people can compete.
Just give a make a whole room for Minecraft.
I don't know. There's
there
just so many things out there. I feel like that would be cool. Like those Dave and Buster's. Last time I went, I wasn't all that impressed.
Right,
like
it's almost mostly really those ticket games now to get you to spend real
money.
Yeah,
like some of the novelty stuff is cool, you know? Like,
right.
I remember the last time I went with you was a while back, but that horse race game was kind of cool.
I love that thing.
That was kind of like something new and different, but everything else is just, it's really all shooting games.
Yeah,
zombie
and they're not
games.
Even interesting games.
Yeah, they're not even interesting. So.
And they want you to spend, and the point thing, I know they do the points so that you don't know. It's hard to understand what you're spending.
Mm-hmm.
That drives me crazy.
Yeah.
Just make it credits.
Yeah.
And a game is one credit.
Yep.
Every game should be one credit. Now, if you say it's only for so much time, it's only for so much time.
Yeah, fine.
And you know what else they need to do? They need to come out with games like Dragon Slayer.
Yeah.
Remember that? Or Dragon's Lair. Remember that one that was like a cartoon?
Way back in the day, like when video
Chuck
games
E. Cheese
first.
Time,
yeah.
You know, for our birthdays.
Hell yeah.
Like
Dragon
when
Slayer.
When you just had to move one the joystick a certain way in a certain time.
Yeah.
I remember watching this one guy who was like a teenager and I was a little kid. The guy made it almost to the end before he ran out of quarters.
Oh,
and he
I
was
never,
so good at
that
it.
That was just a fun game to watch.
That's what I mean. I just watched him play. I didn't ever play it.
Yeah.
Because I couldn't do it. And it was so hard because it was like flash a little instruction real quick.
So
and
hard.
He was so good at it.
Yeah.
Wow. Nostalgia.
That was a cool game, man.
Fuck yeah, it was.
I'd love to play that again.
You know
sometime.
What else was good was the first Star Wars. Remember that one? It was just polygons, and it was just you in the trench run basically.
Hmm.
And it was, but like I was saying, it was like all polygon, like it was just like outline. It was like really crude,
mm-hmm.
but you were just shooting the things on the side as you flew down the trench until you got to the end to shoot it. And then the other levels, you were flying along the surface,
like on the Death Star.
Yeah.
Oh yeah, I do remember that. Yeah.
Just polygons, nothing else.
Yeah.
It was very crude.
But
you know what? And the concept is good. Nothing else matters.
Yeah. Well, you remember Tron for the Atari?
Never played it.
Oh, you never played that?
No,
I
played it once maybe.
That
I didn't
was pretty
like it.
Cool.
Yeah. I don't know. That one just didn't grab me. I don't think I had any friends that played that. Yeah. Was that on 2600?
Oh, I don't know. It was on the original Atari. Is that the original Atari?
That's the one I had. I don't know what the original Atari was.
Yeah.
The one with Pitfall.
Yeah.
Yeah, Pitfall and
Then yeah, that's the
Berserker.
One.
Berserker.
Yeah, Tron.
Yeah, okay.
It was definitely one of the iconic games for that system.
Now, I did see the movie. I was never a big fan of the movie either.
Yeah.
I don't know why.
I never really was either.
The game racing? Was the racing part of the game?
There was all sorts of games.
For Tron?
Yeah, there was a bunch of different types of games.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Okay. I don't think I ever played any of them.
Yeah, there was like a ball game, I think, and there was like a motorcycle racing game.
That's the one I think I've seen.
Yeah.
Where it was just like lines.
There was like a car racing. There was a joust, I think.
Oh, cool.
Yeah, like all sorts of different things.
So. You know what they need to bring back on PlayStation? World Olympics. They had those on like PlayStation or on Super Nintendo.
My brothers and I got a lot of playtime on those Olympic games.
Like you threw the javelin.
Oh, it was so fun to have
sprint.
That's, having brothers was awesome for that. Like we could play video games the four of us together for hours.
See that? That's a bummer. I didn't have any siblings my age.
Yeah, and it was
ever.
Great because there was four of us, so we had like a perfect
two on
number.
Two.
Yeah.
Wow. Ping pong, football,
everything.
Basketball.
Yeah.
Gosh. That's so much fun. You know, because my mom used to get on me that I didn't use the pool very much after they got divorced. And I was like, well, we have a Doughboy pool, so there's no, like, swimming laps or anything.
Mm-hmm.
And she was like, well, why don't you play, like, basketball? Brian's mom said they play all day. Like, there's three of them. It's me.
Mm-hmm.
Well, who am I playing against? Mm-hmm. You know, and she's like, oh, yeah, I guess that would be kind of different.
Mm-hmm.
Like, yeah, I don't know when to pass to. It's just me shooting, you know?
Yeah, no, I don't realize how fortunate I was. That was pretty cool having brothers, you know, able to do all
the
sorts
basketball
of
basketball
cool
part to be the biggest.
Oh, and that's what we played, dude. Basketball was our thing. We also were very fortunate. I lived at the base of a cul-de-sac
most
of my childhood. And everybody in the neighborhood had kids, you know.
Right,
were
they all knew each other.
Dude, we would play baseball games in the street, on like in the cul-de-sac, you know.
Yep, we did too.
Yeah, also soccer. We played all sorts of cool stuff.
Because any car that was coming there was one of the families, and they knew to go slow.
Free. Yeah.
Yeah, I didn't think of quite what you had, but we did have – the cul-de-sac is great.
Yeah.
Because you can. You can play a lot of stuff.
It's amazing.
The only thing that happens is you worry about the ball going down the drain.
Yes.
But that's the only problem.
We did. And we were at the very base of the cul-de-sac, so we had two of them, one on each side of the house. So my brother used to block them.
Which is not good when this rains come.
Yeah. Well, we would just block them for when we were playing. But
you can do is you get the little mesh thing.
Yeah,
and stick a big metal mesh piece on
there. Sure. But, yeah, man, I can't tell you how many tennis balls or baseballs we lost down the gutter.
Yeah. Well, and those were the days before you had – when your TV consisted of that little beige box with a little triangle thing you moved up and down. So you didn't have very many channels, right? Remember, like, it was like a big deal when the channels came out, and like it was just as we were getting to the age of watch TV that cable came out.
Yeah.
And it was like a whole different world, you know? People today have no idea.
So
remember,
funny.
Like you had to watch just whatever football game came on.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, you didn't have a choice, right?
And now you can watch anything you want literally at any second.
Man. My parents used to get so mad because we would play all sorts of different games, you know? Like we had an incredible backyard that kind of like – two creeks on either side that kind of went down and met maybe about 500 yards behind us.
Yeah,
and so we had a backyard, but then we had this just field, you know, and then these two creeks that were kind of like gullies, you know.
Jeez.
And we had all this room to just play. And we'd laser tag, dude. We would get like 15 kids in the neighborhood, and we would play laser tag at night.
Oh.
It was the coolest thing ever, right? Oh, man, it was so fun. But anyway, you know, we'd get sick of one thing, and we'd move to the next, so... I remember one weekend we were so into dodgeball, and we were playing like against our garage, you know, and my parents had like a nice garage doors, you know, with like the paneling and stuff.
Right.
And I remember chucking a ball one time and just popped a panel right out. And my dad was so pissed.
And you're like, but I got him.
Yeah. Yeah, it was great. So those are the days, man. You know, street games of baseball. We used to play some heated 500, you know. Did you ever play 500?
Never heard of it.
Oh, so okay. So I'd stand at the base of the cul-de-sac, basically in my driveway, and I'd hit balls up in the air like a baseball or a softball, and there'd just be a group of people waiting
like
to catch it.
Like a real ball or a wiffle ball?
No, it was usually a real ball.
Okay.
Yeah, and people would be out waiting to catch it, and there'd be like a group of like six of them.
Nice.
And if you caught the ball in the air, you got 500 points, you know? And if you caught it on like one bounce, it was like 100, you know? And like if nobody caught it, it was no points. And
gotcha.
So it was just this like, almost like kill the carrier type like baseball game, you know? Because people were like aggressive.
It's like three flies up kind of.
Oh, yeah. People were aggressive, you know?
I'll
it was
bet.
Like, I want that ball. Yeah.
Well, yeah, you're back at that age where you can fall down 50 times and nothing happens.
Yeah, we'd go up to the top of the cul-de-sac with our skateboards and sit on them and then ride them all the way down to our house, and you could go up onto the sidewalk and then into the grass. It was like
playing Mario Kart.
It was like the coolest thing ever, man. Yeah, we had a blessed childhood.
Yeah, something. Like, I mean, I remember the neighborhood that I grew up in was pretty good for some stuff. The other one I had for the second half of growing up was actually better for sports because that one was overwhelmingly boys. And when it changed to more boys, then it was able to play more sports. The girls would play sports, but, you know, it was, like, not quite the same.
Yeah.
You know? And I didn't have any siblings my age. My sister was awesome, but she was 5-6 years older than me. So
yeah.
5 or 6, depending on the time of the year.
Sure.
So she was obviously not doing the same stuff. But she was still, like – so I ended up being in, like, putting on productions and, like, you know, like in like plays of our favorite movies and stuff like that,
because
that's what they always wanted to do.
Yeah, no, my brothers did that too. You know, we did all sorts of different things, man. My dad had built for us like an incredible jungle gym,
yeah,
in our backyard as well. It was kind of like almost like a fort, like this, like, you know, you could like, it had monkey bars and like these huge like guard towers, one on either side, and then it was connected by like, you know, like a zip line and like a.
And you guys have a pool?
No, we didn't have a pool. No.
Oh, that's the one thing you were missing.
Yeah.
Was it hot in South Dakota?
Yes, and humid.
Ugh. God, gross.
Yeah.
I hate hot weather.
I told you when I went home a month or so back, I got off the plane, I felt like I was stepping into the rainforest.
Oh, yeah. When I went to Chicago to see Garth Brooks and Mikey, I could not believe I walked off the train. And it was like a slap in the, it was like I walked into a wall
almost
of water.
Almost like you could take a bite of the air.
Yeah. I was like, dude, what's wrong? And he was like, what? And I was like, why does it feel like this? He's like, oh, that's humid. And I was like, oh, man, California and Colorado, you don't get to know humid that well.
Nope.
So, anyway, on to our first topic of Star Wars. And this probably won't be a huge discussion, but so Bob Iger, or Iger, I don't know how to say his name, the Disney president came out, I think it was Wednesday, and he said, due to the poor performance of Solo, we're going to slow down Star Wars production.
It's time to slow our roll, basically.
Is that what he said? Maybe. I don't know.
No, I'm just summing it up.
Yeah. They feel like there's too many movies coming out too quickly.
You used the word pre-show, saturation.
Yeah.
That was a good one.
Yeah, that's exactly what they think. They think the market's saturated for Star Wars. I contend, and I'm sure that you agree, that it's not too many Star Wars movies, because if you look at Marvel, sometimes there was three movies a year coming out, and you still went to go see them. And it all went towards Infinity War, right? Mm-hmm. It was like it must have been like a 25-movie journey.
Build up.
Maybe it was 15, but I think it was like 25.
A big culmination.
Yeah, and it all went towards this
I think
one
that's
movie.
What Walking Dead has been trying to do, but they're just doing it too slowly. You know, I think they're trying to like merge these two shows. And
Fear the Walking Dead.
Yeah,
Walking Dead.
But I think
are you still watching those?
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
I haven't watched those in so long.
Yeah, they're still pretty good, but it's lost its steam. You know,
is Carl or Carl's dad gone yet?
He leaves this season.
This is the season.
So
does he die or is he just
nobody knows? Nobody knows.
You think he would have to die though, right? I mean,
yeah.
How else does he disappear?
So. Well, who knows? He gets captive or.
And how many years has this been going on? How many years has Walking Dead? How many seasons?
Somebody actually I saw came out recently and said that it's been only like 4 years, not even four years.
Oh, no, I meant how many years of the show? How many seasons?
Oh, this is season 9, the second half of season 9.
It's only 9.
Or no,
wow,
I'm sorry, the first half of season 9.
Okay.
Is coming up here in a couple weeks.
Okay, I would have thought it was older than that.
Yeah.
Okay, so 9 years.
Yeah.
I loved the first, like, 5 seasons, but for me, once it became more about enemy factions of humans, I just have gotten bored.
Yeah.
And then every time, sometimes I get, like, you know, I would get sucked back in a little bit because they would have a nice zombie set, but then it always went back to another human enemy, and I just, and I get it. I mean, they needed.
I mean, there's only so many man versus things you can do.
Right. To me, I thought it was I just think it would always be cool to nonstop have different adventures on how to get supplies. Mm-hmm. Or how to make supplies, or how to build a structure, you know, and then your structure is doing well, and then something happens, and then you've got to fix it, you know.
No, that's some deeper stuff they could certainly do, but
it probably isn't comic book though. That I mean, it is based on a comic book, even though they changed a lot.
Yeah, is it a graphic novel or a comic book, and what's the difference?
I'm not enough of an authority to say.
Okay.
I've never read The Walking Dead's. I know I don't like comics that much because I just think they're a little boring. I know I like graphic novels less because they're usually all pretty much, it seems like it's a picture.
Yeah.
And while the art is, you know, the drawing is phenomenal.
Yeah. The story.
I just get, it's too slow for me. I'm like, let's go.
Yeah. There's not a whole lot of dialogue or storyline you can fit on the,
and
on a page
and a punch is not
art.
The same on a page as it is.
Of course.
You know, now if it was Star Wars, I could probably do it a little bit better because then I can imagine it very well. Cause I like Star Wars so much, but I don't think I ever got into any Star Wars comics either.
Mm-hmm.
I did hear the Darth Vader one is pretty good, but
yeah. So Disney slowing their roll. I mean, what do you think? Do you think that their thought behind it is, you know, release the more that or the slower time we take, we'll kind of be able to the fans will crave it more when it comes out and be more likely to go see it. Is that
that's
the thought
process? I think that they feel, oh, you know what? Star Wars has always been a 3 years in between episodes and then 10 years in between trilogies.
Yeah.
There's just too much Star Wars.
Yeah, it's just
and that's why it's not performing well. I think it's sticking your head in the sand. And it's like at some point you need to acknowledge that you have a lot of fans who are very upset. And I mean, like episode 9, I don't know what in the hell is going to happen. And that's not a good thing. I don't want to know the outcome of the movie. I don't want to know exactly what happens, but I want to know what I'm waiting to see, right? Return of the Jedi, what are you waiting to see? Well, if the Rebellion can beat the Empire or not, if Luke can beat Vader or not, and you didn't even know the Emperor was going to be a big part of it, right, when you were a kid, and that was really it. You're just like, well, we're going to find out what happens with the Empire and Luke and Vader. Mm-hmm. That's it. We don't know. We're just wondering about what happened with them. And that was enough. And what happened with Han Solo in the Carbonite, right?
Right.
That was enough. You're like, oh, I just want to see what happens. Mm-hmm. Star Wars 9, I'm like, no idea. So Luke's dead.
That was one of the biggest Han's cliffhangers dead. In movie history, the Carbonite, for me. I was a huge Han Solo fan.
Well, then also the Vader, I am your father, you know, Luke, I am your father. That was, you know. Of course, I think I did what Lucas, as later on, in later like interviews, has said, which is he talked to child psychologists, and they said, oh, they just won't believe it. Like, they'll be like, oh, that's, you know. And I remember as a kid, I was like, well, how could that be his dad? That's a robot. Mm-hmm. Like, I didn't realize Vader was a person until the third movie. Mm-hmm. But I was a kid. You know, I was a kid. Even though they had this helmet coming down on him, I was only like 6 or whatever.
Sure.
Or 5. I didn't pick up on that. Yeah. So, I'm sorry that they, at some point, they have to acknowledge that you took the easiest fan base to make happy in the world. And I know people say, no, what about the prequels? People were bitching. Yeah, but people still went. Mm-hmm. Right? Remember, you kept saying, well, the next one's going to be better. The next one's going to be better. And now, as time has gone on, you realize they weren't that bad. They just weren't what you were thinking.
All of them had some unique aspects that I liked. You know, I mean, Phantom Menace was cool because it was like, I don't know if this is a good analogy or not, but if you ever read Lord of the Rings, you know, like, the most exciting part of that was probably The Hobbit, which was kind of an offshoot, and then maybe, like, The Return of the King when all the battles were happening. But, like, a lot of that stuff, they had some prequel books, like The Silmarillion, which was, like, kind of Middle Earth is, like, it's, like, which is interesting, but at the same time, how boring, you know? And
it's
just
like a chronicle.
Yeah, and it's just, I think it gets a little too, like, convoluted or
It's just detail-oriented. Diluted. It's like, you want to know the entire history of what is in my mind of what this world is, and here you go. Mm-hmm. You know, then you find out what Gandalf is and what Sauron was and all that.
Yeah, I don't know if I need that.
No, I think it's just out there for you. Sure. I don't think he marketed it as a must read or anything.
But that was my point with Phantom Menace, is that was it had that nostalgia of like, hey, we want to know where everything came from and see some, like, you know, and some of the cool planets and characters that he created, you know, were maybe a little controversial, like obviously Jar Jar comes to mind, but
and of course Jar Jar was well liked by kids.
Yeah. No, I agree, but I thought actually going back, Phantom Menace is my favorite of the second trilogy.
Totally agree.
By a long shot.
Totally agree.
And I think, you know, I think Revenge of the Sith had some good pieces to it, you know, some great lightsaber battles, and, you know, the storyline developed a little. It had some, you know, there were some pieces I didn't like as well, but I thought it was pretty strong overall. And then the second one was the worst for me.
Right.
You know? But still, like, the very first half of that movie is pretty good. You know, the storyline with the clones and Obi-Wan going...
Kamino's cool.
Yes, it's...
Yeah.
It's cool.
For me, the only problem I really have with Attack of the Clones is, one, the forced love story. I felt like it was just not handled well. Like, I think it should have been more of a... Well, because it was like Anakin was obsessed with her right in the beginning, and then after just a few days, she fell for him. It was like, it doesn't really...
At that age, you know? Too.
Yeah, it just seemed a little off. But
and I hated the I did not like Hayden.
I'm not a fan of his.
You know, had they picked somebody to do Anakin a little better acting job, I would have been a little
I didn't think that he was the right actor for the role. But you don't, I mean, sometimes you don't know that until you're done.
Yeah.
And also, you know, you do have a director and you do have a writer. Both were in Lucas.
Oh, of course.
And I think that Lucas would have benefited from having somebody to, like, be the reins on his imagination and say, you know what, sir, that's cool, but that's confusing. How can we make that a little bit cleaner? And you realize that that's what Kasdan did, because when you look at what Kasdan did with writing The Force Awakens and writing Solo, Star Wars Story, that guy doesn't have that much talent. Mm-hmm. His stories are not very good. Mm-hmm. The Force Awakens was no story, and then, I mean, it was a little bit of a story, but a weak story.
Well, it was a good story, it just wasn't original.
Well, yeah, it was a good retelling, I guess. Yeah, and then of course, The Last Jedi there is, that literally is no story in Last Jedi, except that, I guess, running out of gas happens in Star Wars now, which I think is weird. But I just think that, and I agree with you about the Phantom Menace. To me, that, you know, and you know what, that's what Force Awakens and Last Jedi don't have, is the Force, or Phantom Menace, like A New Hope, you got your band of people together, and they went on an adventure together. And they became friends. Mm-hmm. They became a group.
Yeah.
That never happened in The Force Awakens.
And you care about the characters, you know?
But I think that, that's why. Because you have this dynamic, this group. You're like, well, we lose someone from the group, you know? Oh, we got Han, Leia, Luke, Chewie, and 3PO and R2. Mm-hmm. Or the Phantom Menace. Oh, we've got Qui-Gon and Obi-Wan and Padme and, mm-hmm. and Anakin and, well, you know, Jar Jar, even if some people didn't like him, 3PO and R2, you know? Mm-hmm. And while that group wasn't quite as closely knit, they were all together through most of the movies, right? Minus a couple
characters. Yeah, you're right. They have their heroes, but there isn't like a whole lot of time together.
Right.
You know, they're always separate. That was the storyline, was trying to like bring them back together.
Yeah.
You know, and it didn't seem to work
at all.
Yeah.
I mean, Finn and
Rey.
Poe Dameron.
Yeah.
They're like best friends, but all they've only shared like 20 minutes together, right? And Rey has not seen Finn since she left him, right?
And they hardly spent any time together in Last Jedi.
Yeah.
Hardly at all.
And then you think of all the time that she was gone with Luke and she didn't do anything with him, right?
That's just a weird storyline.
Chewbacca has had no role. He's just been a side thing.
They brought in the female gal to play
Holdo, yeah, Laura.
Yeah,
Dern.
to the one that Finn was with, the Asian gal.
Oh, Rose.
Rose. Here's this opportunity where you've already got a character in Rey,
mm-hmm.
and him have the chemistry.
Yeah.
Why wouldn't you develop that storyline with the two of them instead of bringing in a brand new character to do some sort of random storyline?
And this is going to sound funny, but I think honestly, it might have been to say we've gotten a lot of pushback on the what we call social justice warrior, which I don't agree that's exactly what they're doing, and nor do I think it's bad to be just, you know, have equity in society. But I think their thought might have been, we don't want to have a white woman get together with a black guy. And I think that was their original idea, was then to become a couple. And I think they were like, uh-oh. Well, let's not open up that whole can of worms. I mean, you saw how butthurt the people got about Finn being a black stormtrooper. You're like, why is that a problem at all? They're not clones anymore. Yeah. But anyway,
yeah, I don't know.
I think that if they don't at least start to accept, I mean, like, you've got Rian Johnson trying to say that anyone who doesn't like The Last Jedi is a man baby, and J.J. Abrams saying it's because you're a misogynist, or Kathleen Kennedy saying because you're a racist. And it's like, maybe we just want you to write a good freaking movie. They're so bad.
Yeah,
they're so bad.
Yeah, that's the problem. You know, like, the acting in the second trilogy wasn't great, but, you know, the storyline kept it together, you know, whereas,
well, I mean,
like,
you knew what happened.
Yeah.
The Emperor took over by turning a republic into an empire. What the hell is going on in this one? I don't even know.
Yeah, I don't either.
The government apparently was only on those couple of planets and got rid of them, and that was everything. But they didn't even have a space force to begin with. That's where the resistance was there.
They just filed for a name change from the Empire to the First Order.
It's just, what the hell's going on?
Yeah, it's pretty diluted.
It's like, you know what? It's almost like they say, well, George Lucas brought you right in the middle of a story. Yeah, but he did the whole story first on his own and then said, okay, this is the best part. I'll start with this part, this middle part. He at least had his whole story. He may not have had the details, but he had the overall story.
Right.
How did they not come up with a story before the first movie and say, okay, here's what we're going to do?
Because the story came first. Money comes first.
But why ruin such a valuable asset you paid $4 billion
for? Well, I think it's because they rush it in. You know, they rush it to somebody, get me a script. Whoever gets it to me the quickest, that's the one we're going to go with.
You and I, in 5 minutes, can come up with a better story arc doing nothing but just what would be kind of cool.
We have already.
Right. I mean, think of how crazy that is.
We had banter on the computer at work on the email for probably about 7 minutes the other
day.
Didn't
we? Oh, that was Star Wars?
No, you said I have a new idea. And then we just started throwing ideas back and forth. And I said it was probably like maybe a 5 to 7 minute correspondence.
But it's
and
a cool start.
We already had, you know, a first quarter of a movie written.
Yeah, but yeah. I'm just saying, think of it with Star Wars, how fast you could write a story for Star Wars. And I remember I made my own little synopsis, and I can give it to you in like 5 sentences. Luke disappeared because he found out that he embraced the dark side to defeat Vader, and Yoda was right, that it always dominates your destiny. And he felt he was corrupting his students because he couldn't keep the dark side at bay. So he's disappeared. Some group, I was like, we could do the Night Sisters from Dathomir or whatever kind of an evil force entity. You know, the Empire is kind of, it's kind of a stalemate, right? The Empire's got their planets, the Republic's got their planets, and they're just kind of at a stalemate. But the Empire's disorganized, and these people come in and organize the Empire. So now the Empire becomes a threat. Now Leia gets together the forces as the runner of the, she runs the Republic. She gets together their military, and a war begins, but they realize they're losing now because they don't have the power that this other group has.
Or at least the, like, organization.
Right, exactly. Yeah. That's what I mean, is the strategy.
Yeah.
Maybe Thrawn. Do your own Thrawn trilogy. Or maybe not, because people would probably get mad. But, you know, do something. And then the movie can be Han and Chewie hop in the trusty old Falcon to go get Luke. Mm-hmm. They know where he is. They just don't talk to him because he wants to be alone.
Then you have the storyline. You've got the nostalgia.
You have what you wanted, right? You have your adventure mm-hmm. with your old friends.
Yep.
And they go to get Luke.
Yep.
On the way, they break down, and they meet Finn and Rey, right? Mm-hmm. And maybe they bring Poe with them, right? That was the young hotshot they bring with them. Now, all of a sudden, you've got that group of, like, six. They all go to Luke. They find Luke. They convince him to come back. Mm-hmm. On the way back, you learn that Rey's a Force-sensitive, or Luke realizes it and begins to train her. Then Luke shows up at a pivotal battle for a very important planet with resources that they're losing the battle, and he becomes like the general and organizes them, and they fight them off. And they say, "Well, this isn't over. The First Order is here to kill us, or are going to try and take over." But they win that battle, so it's a celebration because they held their ground.
So there,
and now
you've
got your
first
story.
Movie,
yeah,
and then the trilogy grows from there, yeah.
Right? And now you can do whatever you want, kill off whoever you want, because we got to see our old friends, go on one last adventure, mm-hmm. and now we're going to move on to into the future. And now it's a battle between the remnants of the Empire against the New Republic for supremacy.
Yeah.
And you can have the First Order making some big time inward bounds, or some, you know, figures out something or whatever in the second movie, and it looks like they're going to take out the Republic. And then the Republic, Rey, you know, over the 6-7 years in 10 years of this war, Rey becomes a great Jedi. And Luke dies, but she's able to take out the bad guys.
Hey, let's get it on paper, dude. That's great.
That took what? 2 minutes.
Yeah.
That's already a vastly better story than we've gotten. I mean, that's such a better story that, like, it's infinitely better. And that's not even a good story.
But the other thing is, there's all sorts of stories that already exist in the old, what do they call it now, the old canon?
Yeah, the extended universe.
Thank you, the extended universe.
Well, that was never canon. George Lucas was adamant that the books were never canon.
Okay, fair enough. But there's a lot of fun stuff out
Absolutely.
There that already exists.
Great.
Like
yeah.
you said, bring back Thrawn, you know, or, you know, throw in Exar Kun, you know.
Yeah, Mara Jade, or...
Yeah.
Yeah, throw in, grab anything from the books
well,
and bring
I'll
it.
I'll tell you what, I'm not going to lose faith in JJ right now. I honestly kind of have a feeling JJ is going to throw us a winner in 9. And I think a lot of it is I'm going to go into it with no expectations.
Right.
So
the first time
I'm not
none.
Expecting a lot. But I feel like JJ has done enough in his career where he's excelled in some places and really failed in some others, that he's matured enough that he has, I really feel like he surrounded himself with good people for this movie. And I feel like the plot is going to be intricate. I think they're going to tie up some loose ends for us. And I think some characters are going to show up from the books.
And he has said he plans to tie all 9 movies together.
Yeah.
How he's going to do that in one movie, I don't know.
It's going to be a long movie.
And don't get me wrong. There's nothing I hope more than to be blown away
and then
and
have
be
a
like, I can't believe you saved this.
Or have a 10 And, you know, do you think
I'd like the trilogies. I'd like the Skywalker to
trilogies,
end.
Trilogies, yeah.
I mean, more trilogies is fine, but yeah. let's get off of this one. Mm-hmm. This was a great run.
The Skywalker saga.
Right. Yeah. No, now you can do the Old Republic, you can do a Future Republic or future, you know, what bad or what, you go anywhere you want.
Yeah.
I'm all for that.
I was always a big fan of the Mandalorians. You never really
we never heard anything about them.
Never see them in the movies.
That'd be cool.
Yeah.
You know, or you know, they're in Rebels if you ever watch that cartoon.
Are, okay,
yeah, the actual army.
Yeah.
But you know what also would be cool would be, like I said, I went on Jabba, man. Give us a five or six, give us two trilogies about the underworld. Mm-hmm. Three of them for Jabba growing up and becoming powerful.
Yeah.
And then maybe three as the overlord and the challenges he faced.
Dude, that would be so cool.
And I've told you before, Quentin Tarantino,
yeah,
man.
To do the,
he
to
does
do
the first
director.
One. He's only going to do 10 movies, so we got to get him quick. But yeah.
Is that what he said?
He's only doing 10 for his career.
10 total?
Yeah.
How many has he done?
7 or 8.
Okay.
Reservoir Dogs, Pulp Fiction, Kill Bill 1, Kill Bill 2, Jackie Brown, and his Glorious Bastards, Hateful Eight, Django Unchained. He's got one coming out real soon, right? So
yeah.
He's only going to have one more. And I've heard they're trying
it's
to get
Charles
him for Star
Manson,
Trek.
Charles Manson, right? Isn't it a Charles Manson
right.
movie?
I think you're right.
Yeah.
And they're trying to get him for Star Trek, I think.
Yeah.
Because he's a much bigger Star Trek than Star Wars fan.
Yep.
But I just thought if you gave him an Underworld movie... And said, this can be R-rated.
Mm-hmm.
Just make it your movie. God, the dialogue in Star Wars would be cool with
yeah.
him. But anyway.
Yeah, you could have a young Guido or Greedo.
Greedo, yeah. Or, I mean, just anything.
Yeah.
You know? Those see that his battle see that crown. Battle droid, that IG-88, see him as a, you know? Because, like, in the Clone War cartoon, not the animation, but the cartoon one, he was badass. I mean, he was a ruthless.
Yeah.
I mean, he was cool.
So, yeah, it was a cool battle droid.
CGI,
sure.
You could do some good stuff with
it. Oh, hell yeah.
So, jumping on to video games here, unless you have something else you want to say about Star Wars.
I always have stuff to say.
I just don't want to, yeah, I didn't want to end up talking too long.
You know, I've seen some more rumors lately. We can probably save it for next time. That gives us some meat and bones for next time.
Yeah.
That says
47 minutes.
Yeah, I think that's about right.
Have we really been talking Star Wars for 47 minutes?
Which is good.
We talked about some stuff before Star Wars.
But that's all right.
That's funny.
I like the off-the-cuff stuff, buddy.
I do, too.
It makes it fun.
I don't want to forget that we have an appointment at 1-something.
1:15, right?
Well, I guess it's anyone up to 2:15, so 1:30 probably is okay.
Oh, no, I think she told me to be there right at 1:15.
Well, you might want to text her. That might be close.
We'll make it.
On to the game. So Marvel released, or PlayStation released an exclusive, Marvel Spider-Man. Mm-hmm. And I just got Spider-Man, and Spider-Man's amazing. So this game, if you haven't played it, I won't want to spoil anything for you, but the web-slinging is out of this world. And I know that that's been in every game, right? But this one, it's very simple, which is a good part. And there's little things you can do. You can, you know, swinging is just one button that just spits out your web. It finds the target for you, and... Then you decide on how long you want to swing on the upswing before you let go and do another one, or jump, or fall, or whatever you want to do. But it is so seamless, and they've played with physics a little bit, so that you can go around buildings on one web, even if it doesn't really kind of make sense for your momentum. You can just kind of like turn to the left, and suddenly you're going around the corner. But then as you're running around the corner, you can, you know, use a web to do a sharp turn. But it's a gloriously fluid, smooth process, and at one point in the game, I said, you know, I'm just going to swing around and get all of the backpacks and all of the and turn on all the police radars, because it's just so much fun to travel. I just want to travel through the city. And I mean, it's a beautiful rendering of New York. You've got the Empire State Building there, but you've also got the other fun thing, like you've got Oscorp, and you've got the Avengers Building, you know, Tony Stark's building, and all that is in New York. It's really cool, and you can just slide, you know, and just webbing your way around. And like, I can literally at some points, I'll just travel. And I'm not really doing anything, not trying to get to the end of something or catch something. I'm just swinging because it's such an amazingly well-done mechanic and thing to watch. The battling is very smooth, and it's not hard, but it's not easy. It's a simple battle process, but it's still hard to win because you got to do it just right. And they've got, like, nice, you know, one, you know, if the guy's got a gun, or they've got an electrified rod, or if they've got a shield, or whatever else they have, you know, slide between their legs, or you've got a web and yank it away from them, or you've got to sit from a perch and shoot web down on them and yank them up and tie them up into a web and hang them. And it just, there's all these different things you can do, and they're all very simple and intuitive, and they all work so well together. I do know the game is not nearly as long as I'm going to like, because I'm at 20% right now, and believe me, I have gone out of my way to go slow, to just web around, go after random criminals, you know, not even doing the storylines or the side missions or anything, just nothing, just swinging and shooting. And
well, I just quickly let me interject. I have not played the game. I've only seen it and seen videos of it and just read some of the reviews about it. So I mean, I'm gonna let
and
you
saw my Twitch.
Yeah,
Twitch video.
And just I'll let you do the review, but just to chime in, you know, for a minute. I read, first of all, the storyline I heard is pretty engaging.
Very, like, so far.
Yeah, like I've heard.
I'm not even that deep.
Yeah, I've heard the storyline is really good, one of the better told stories for a video game, and that people kind of have been engrossed in that piece of it, which is awesome. It makes you want to turn the game on, right?
Like, I've taken out two bosses so far, and they're not even the like bosses I really even knew.
That was the cool thing about the Resident Evil games. The storylines were so awesome.
Yeah,
you just
absolutely
wanted to know, like it was like watching a movie that you were controlling and you didn't know what was going to happen.
Choose your own adventure horror.
Yeah. So that was awesome about what I read about Spider-Man. So, but I've also heard you mentioned that the fluidity of it, like it's very intuitive. You know, maybe some of the physics isn't quite correct, but it makes for a more fun game. And
so much fun.
Yeah.
But the traveling is so fun and it's so detailed. Like the buildings are like super detailed, like the corners and the edges and everything.
Cool.
And so like, and you can go swinging through New York.
Anywhere.
And like I said, you swing up to the Avengers building, Tony Stark's Avengers, you know, and run to the very top of that, and you're super high above the city, and you can dive off the top and just go soaring, you know? I mean, it's just, everything about it is fun. It's a completely open world. It's not big enough, but it's big. It's just not big enough.
It's New York City, basically.
Right, Manhattan.
So, Central Park.
Oh, yeah.
So, that's kind of cool.
Oh, yeah. You swing through the trees in Central Park.
Can you go inside, like, the Met and look at all the artwork and stuff?
Haven't tried to go into the Met yet. I don't know if you can go in there.
Sure.
You can go into a number of places, but they have to be part of the story. Maybe you can. Probably not, but you do take pictures. You have a camera, because right? Because Spider-Man's a camera guy.
Sure.
So, he takes pictures of all the landmarks, and you get points and
bonuses for getting landmark
pictures.
Oh, that's part of the storyline.
Yeah, you want to
get. Okay.
And then all the time when you're swinging through the city or just doing random stuff and not part of the story, I don't know the name of the newspaper guy, the guy who hates Spider-Man, but he, James or Javes or something. Anyway, he has got like, man, I'll bet you there's 200 or 300 recordings, maybe more, of him like hosting a radio show or a podcast and talking to callers and like bashing Superman or Spider-Man the whole time. It's hilarious. It's like one of the few games. Most games I play, I turn off the sound and I turn on the sound of a TV and I watch TV while
I'm
playing.
But you want to listen to this.
I listen to this game half the time.
That's pretty cool. So there's like a, whatever you call it, a campaign type
game. The story.
Right, like a storyline that you follow.
Yeah, the campaign for sure.
Okay, but you can also go off and like do whatever, right? Like it's a big open world. Like a Grand Theft Auto type.
Absolutely.
Far Cry.
Ninja Assassin.
Are there like
Assassin's Creed?
Are there like upgrades to the suit like you saw in the last movie where you could do some cool things with the suit at all or no?
Tons of suits you can get.
Oh, okay, cool.
You craft them. Yeah.
Oh, cool.
You find stuff and then you use that to craft new suits.
Awesome.
I've heard you can get the one from Avengers where like the legs come out, but I'm not anywhere near that yet.
Cool.
But no, dude, it's just, I'd say it's a huge home run.
Good.
And they're supposed
it's
to be
about time they do that with
Spider-Man. They've had
a
lot that didn't do well.
Want, you know?
Yeah.
You get to fly around.
Well, like I mean, one of the things you can do when you're fighting is you go and you can wrap up a guy in webs, and then so he's held captive while you take out the other guy. Or you can do the webs that the strong web that like knocks the guy up against the wall and plasters him there. You know, and like you get bonuses for doing like they'll give you objectives in a fight, like. Swing one, you know, you can like get a guy in a web and then swing him around and knock his buddies over. I mean, it's just, it's endless.
Why hasn't the Marvel Universe capitalized on that? I mean, gosh, you got to think that an Iron Man game would be
amazing.
Maybe
they think that that's their next round. When the movies kind of get too much, it'll move into the video game realm.
That could be. But, I mean, God, think about that. An Iron Man game.
Iron Man
a
Superman, all the way around
a
the place?
Superman game would be incredible, too.
Yes, a super detailed first-person, like, adventure, you know, RPG kind of one.
Yeah, dude. Superman, oh, my gosh. You could do so many cool things. Or Batman with all the gadgets now.
Well, no, they've done
they
Batman.
They do have, that's true.
Arkham
they have
Asylum.
Asylum, right.
Well, there's three games. Arkham Asylum. Arkham City, or...
Yeah.
And then there's... And then,
no, you're right. Batman's been around for a while. But
you want to move on to Madden.
Yes. Yeah, absolutely. So Madden, just came out a couple weeks ago, the 2019 version. I mean, I'm just going to give you my take on kind of what I feel. You know, it's been such a long time since Madden has come out. We couldn't pinpoint what year exactly, but I know I've been buying it since 93. So, you know, to look at where it's come from then till now is pretty amazing. The graphics and the gameplay and all that is amazing, and it continues to get better even with this version. I love the gameplay. It's much more realistic. I think it's harder to get plays past 10 yards. You know, anytime you don't see it in the pros, right? It takes a lot to get a 12 yard play or a 25, 35, 45 yard play. And you're seeing a lot less of that. However, if you see a good one-on-one matchup and you take advantage of it, you're able to capitalize quite a bit as well. So I know those two things kind of clash, but there's a good mix of it in there, if that makes sense. It's really cool. So I think you got to gear your offense more towards getting 3 or 4 yards at a time. And it just makes it really realistic for me. So I that part of it I've really enjoyed, but it's also made it very difficult because that's not what I'm used to. I'm used to, you know, trying to kind of find what works in the game. You know, I remember years ago the slant was unstoppable, you know, and then there was a time where it was the run game where that was the focus. And if you had a good running back, you couldn't be stopped. Like, you could sprint to the outside and just break away. Or then a while it was the deep ball, you know, and you couldn't stop it. And, I like that. You know, you could find a comfort zone and whatever worked for you, you know. But this game has challenged me to kind of go outside the box a little bit, and I've really enjoyed it. I'm getting into my play calling a lot more and trying to pay attention to, you know, okay, it's 3rd and 4. Most people know me. I like to pass, but I'm going to run here, you know, and I'm trying to do that more often where I'll come out in formations, you know, hey, you know, 3 bunch on the right and a single, you know, and they, oh, I'm going to pass. Well, I'm not. I'm going to run because I have good blocking receivers or whatever, you know, and I'm just trying to get a little more creative on offense, which has made it more fun for me. And I love that realistic aspect of it, of getting those 10 yards, you know, of grinding it out.
Right, it's hard.
And putting together a drive is really difficult, you know.
Well, it used to be if you got, like, on the first down, you got 8 yards. It was like, oh, I'm a lock. You know, I'll just do whatever I want on the second play because I know I can run for 2 yards in the next play.
Right.
And this one's like, you might run twice and you're not getting 2 yards.
Mm-hmm.
So I do like that they've – I think what actually has happened is I think that every year they focus on something else, with making DBs better. Now we're going to make linebackers better, or we're going to make offensive line run block better, or we're going to make quarterbacks throw faster or throw deeper or throw whatever. I think they've upgraded everything, and I think that we're just at a nice middle point where we're getting the nice benefit of everything over the last 5 years has been upgraded, so now we've got everything upgraded and equal.
Yeah.
And it won't be that way again. Starting next year, it'll be like a new cycle, right? So I think we got lucky. I don't like – they haven't fixed the quarterback can't throw the ball over a linebacker thing. And even if the guy's 10 yards past him, he has trouble throwing it over the linebacker.
I've had some issues with that as well. Yeah, your guy may be 10, 12, even 15 yards beyond the defender. And for some reason, even if you press up on the control and try to throw it over the linebacker, you aren't able to.
Yeah, I mean, you can a little bit, but it's like you have to throw it to the side. You can't throw it at one. And then I don't like that because that's not real, but I think that might be.
You can if you tap it and do the lob pass, but then
hoping your guy doesn't get crushed in the meantime when he's going to catch it.
Not
going
to have a lot of success with that.
Yeah. So, I mean, but I think the gameplay is as good as it's been in a while.
Yeah.
I don't think there's ever any major change or, you know, blow you away with Madden anymore. I mean, it's football. It's the same basic rules, and the plays don't change. The plays have been the same for decade.
Nail on the head. And that was going to be my next thing about the piece that I didn't like about it is, like, yeah, it's nice to know the plays, you know, but come on, man. There's so many different types of things that, an offense does now.
Right.
You know, the RPO, the pistol, the, you know, the different run and shoot type options.
Throwing the ball to the quarterback.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. The Philly special, right?
Right.
Yeah, there's
Baker Mayfield got one of those.
Yeah,
you know?
Throw a couple quirky plays in there. It's not very original from that aspect. And I think they are worried to if they go away from what has worked, that it might not work, you know?
I think they're worried about going in the arcade direction.
Yeah.
Because that's always a threat, is to be too score happy.
Yeah, I suppose. But, you know, at the same time, you don't want to make it difficult to score either. You know?
No. I think they've got a good medium. And I'm playing a franchise with you and a franchise with Chi-Town Mike. And in both of those leagues, I'm very happy with the games we've had.
Mm-hmm.
And I've had some good drafts in one and some not so good drafts in the other. And but the quarterback, man, that makes a difference. Aaron Rodgers has led to me, well, we know in the sim part, I've won back-to-back Super Bowls.
Yeah.
Which is kind of funny. But
yeah, quarterback's everything in that game.
Yeah, I focused on offense and offensive line and having that and three good receivers and two good running backs.
Yep.
And Christian McCaffrey is great on that game, too, because he's got the speed to get open on a running route or a passing route. And
he's
that,
a huge mismatch.
Yeah.
That's another part of it I've noticed is with the play calling of it. You know, if it's third down and eight and they're in a passing, you know, formation – you know, your opponent, let's say you're playing online or whatever against the computer, and you come out in a 4-3 or a 4-6 with
right.
a bunch of linebackers,
right.
and they're trying to run a slant or a post, they're going to beat you all the time.
Right.
And they're going to, you know, so you do have to call the right type of defense to have success.
I would say I am kind of an anomaly in that regard, in that I have a defensive philosophy, and so I pick my plays often before the offense has picked theirs.
Oh, and yeah, so do I.
So, I mean, like, I don't actually know what the personnel, like, grouping is before I do it. Now, that's something that they preach about online leagues, and I'm not very good in online leagues. People are too much better than me, and I've been preached to that you have to wait until you see how many wide receivers they have, and you need to go one more cornerback than they have wide receivers to be consistently successful.
Yeah.
But I get bored because that doesn't lead to a lot of linebacker or blitzing plays.
Right.
And I don't like that. I like to play more
real.
Yeah,
the only time you can do them is first down. Is that's the only time that people seem to really be comfortable to run the football.
Right.
You know?
Oh, man, and online.
That's always how Madden's been, though.
I mean, like every online Madden league I've been in that has like a Daddy's League's constitution or whatever, they're always telling you have to run at least 40% of the time. Because some people will be like, I'll pass every play.
Yeah.
You know?
Well, I think this new version is a good gateway to the future as far as how gameplay works, because it is very realistic as far as, you know, you're not going to go and play this game Madden and just pick up chunks of yardage.
Well, and the Frostbite,
it doesn't work that way.
The Frostbite engine that they've used for FIFA is what they finally brought over to Madden in the last 2 years.
Uh-huh.
And they finally have figured out an engine that doesn't allow polygons to go through each other.
Hmm.
Right. That was always a problem in Madden and every other sport, right? Arm going through a guy or, you know, like all those glitches and stuff. And this real-world physics engine is like, no, if you hit into something, you can't go through it. And that's why you see, like, players, like running backs all of a sudden get stuck and they can't go forward at all, because in real life you wouldn't be moving forward.
Right.
And so now you don't.
Like the old Tecmo Bowl, you could just, like, work your way through the line.
Where Bo Jackson could just run back and forth four times and still score a touchdown.
Well, we should move
just one last thing. In franchise, they finally – I think, unless I haven't just figured out how to do it yet, they finally found a way to stop you from loading up on draft picks.
Yeah.
And that used to be the thing in franchise for me, was just to load up on draft picks.
There's probably still a way. You just haven't figured it out yet.
Yeah, the last versions, what I would do is I would trade away to get two or three early first-round picks. I would trade away wherever I had to. And then each of those picks I would trade back five or six times for a next year's first and a this year's first, and then trade like half of those away for seconds and thirds. And then I would just load up, and then by the time I would have like five seasons in a row with at least five first, second, and third
round
picks.
And it was easy to scout. This one isn't quite as easy.
Yeah. It's harder to advance people, too.
Yeah.
Which I do like the fact that there's now not just quick advancement and superstar, but there's star.
Mm-hmm.
So there's great players, and then there's the elite. You know?
Well, it's there's slow, right?
Right.
There's
normal. Average.
Then there's quick.
Mm-hmm.
Then there's star, superstar. Is
yeah.
that right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I like that change.
Yeah, it's cool.
But anyway, that's the biggest change I noticed was that you don't is that you can't trade, you can't accumulate draft picks very easily.
Yeah. Oh, on franchise, yeah. I was just saying generally in the gameplay, man, it is very realistic this year.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, I think they're getting better at the realism portions in all respects.
Yep.
I'm not sure if that's always good though, cuz part of the fun.
Well,
the franchise,
I've had to make some major adjustments on how I play.
Yeah.
You have to.
Well, we're going to get you into a true online league.
Yeah.
And you might realize the pain.
Oh, I'm
that
sure.
comes from getting slacked 47-0 in the first half.
I'm sure.
Because every play they've got a guy open by 45.
I haven't played
yards.
In any leagues, but I've played some games and I've gotten smoked.
Yeah, and I'm not a good player.
Yeah.
So, if I've ever smoked you, just imagine what it's like when you got a guy who beats me 93
yeah.
to 4
oh,
or whatever
yeah,
it is.
No, I hear you.
Okay, so we'll jump on, and we'll kind of do this kind of quick, I guess. Our top 10 spacecraft, kind of got some things to do. It's getting late in the day. Been doing podcasting since 9 a.m. It's almost 1. So, all right, so number 10 for you.
I've got the X-Wing fighter. And you're going to notice a theme
that.
In my in my list, of course, but being a Star Wars nut, I just think it's so cool, right, man?
It's
what
cool ship.
That's what blew up the Death Star, you know?
Right.
That's like, yeah, the shape
and
is so cool.
And it looks like a ship. It's
yeah.
got the wings, the normal kind of wings.
Yep.
But they open, you
It
know?
Was kind of the first thing on the big screen outside of, like, maybe Aliens where you'd seen a spaceship that was like, oh, I could probably fly that.
Yeah. It was like flying around in atmosphere
yeah.
instead of space.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because space was always super slow flight.
Yeah. So
yeah.
that's my 10.
Yeah. Trust me, you'll hear that name come up again.
I sure. Yeah.
For me, it's Thunder Road. I don't know if you ever saw the movie The Explorers. It's these three kids. It's actually River
oh,
Phoenix
yeah.
and Ethan Hawke.
Yeah.
And they build a little trash can.
Yes.
Something,
and
they
turns
go
into a
visit
spaceship.
An alien.
Yeah.
And I love that movie. I
it's
know it didn't
awesome
do well,
movie.
But it's a cult film, and I love it.
Oh, dude, that movie's awesome.
It
one
did
of my
horrible
favorites.
In the theaters.
Yeah, I know.
Like, it barely like stayed like 3 weeks.
But it was so good, so good.
So good. I don't think I saw it in the theater. I think I saw it on video. But on VHS, they said that's where it took off.
Yeah.
Number 9?
Let's see. I've got the Starship Enterprise.
Oh, very nice. Now, do you have a particular one?
The one from Khan, and I forget the name of it. It's
okay. Well, it's a USS Enterprise, but it's probably the maybe it's the
I think
B
I might
the,
have had it pulled up
the
actually
255 or I'm not good with the numbers on Star Trek. Like I've never quite learned what the star date represents, like what year this actually
star
are.
Star date. Yeah.
4.11424.
Yeah, shoot. I thought I had it pulled
it's
up.
Not
here,
gone well.
But
Captain's log, supplemental.
Yeah, I don't know. USS Enterprise. I'm just going with that.
Good
Everybody
enough.
Knows what I'm talking
Episode
about.
Episode 2, or Wrath
of Khan. Yes.
The first Wrath of Khan,
yes.
not the one JJ copied.
Right.
For me, it's the Event Horizon.
Oh,
and I love that ship just because of the drive.
Yeah.
The Horizon drive or whatever it is.
Mm-hmm.
That thing is super cool. I know the ship itself is like a flying thing. Isn't that cool?
Right.
But it looked creepy. You know, it gave off that creepy vibe.
Agreed.
And it was a living ship. So,
well,
that's
you'll probably
cool.
hear that come up a little later. So,
all right, number 8.
I actually had a tie here. Right. I got Slave One, which
oh,
is
Boba Fett.
Boba Fett's, which I always thought was cool the way it flew.
Yeah.
You know?
How you actually land on your back.
It had so many different, like, types of firepower and, yeah, cool ship. And then I've got the USS Sulaco from Aliens.
Okay, so that's the warship?
Yes.
That she ends up shooting out the airlock?
Mm-hmm.
Well, I guess she shot out the airlock twice. But
yeah, which is so badass, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's great. I never even thought about that. They do, actually. The main alien gets shot out into the airlock in both movies.
Mm-hmm.
Can't believe I never thought about that. Number 8 for me is the TIE Interceptor, the one that has the pointed wings
mm-hmm.
in the front. And I know that there's a whole bunch of different kinds of versions now than there ever was, like,
mm-hmm.
you know, from all the Rebels and the Clone Wars and everything now, but that was always my favorite one. It looked sleeker than the one with the big wings, and I've
for
just
sure.
always been a big fan of that one.
Number seven, you already said it, Event Horizon for me.
Excellent, excellent. For me, it's the Battlestar Galactica.
Yes.
Love that series on sci-fi.
It made my honorable mention.
Yeah, it's not the coolest, like, moving ship.
Yeah.
But it just represented, so, I mean, it was just it was the show. I mean, that's all you did was spend your time on the Battlestar Galactica.
Yep.
And the starfighters that it had were cool. And I admit that I think that the clone ships look cooler, but... You know, they're the good guys.
Fantastic show. Yeah. Fantastic show. They did a great job.
And if you ever saw the prequel, it only got one season, unfortunately, but it was very good. It's called Caprica. It stars, is it Eric Stoltz, the guy from Pulp Fiction that's the drug dealer?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And he's the scientist that, like, starts the Cylons by, like, making an artificial intelligence or whatever.
Right.
But Caprica, I think it's still on Netflix if you ever want to see that.
Very cool.
So number six?
It's the Ranger from Interstellar.
Oh, is that the one, the big circular thing that they flew mm-hmm. through the black hole?
Mm-hmm.
What's it called?
The Ranger.
The Ranger. I don't think I even knew that. The only thing, that movie I thought was good. I mean, I've seen it a few times, and it's good. I mean, there's parts of it that are great. I don't like the ending. I really don't like the ending at all. But and the Tesseract thing I don't like. But I do think it was interesting when they went to that one water planet and they miscalculated the gravity somehow and they get back up there and it's like, oh, and it's like
we
they were there like an hour.
Years.
Yeah, it was like 25 years. That was cool. Although it kind of ruined some things because you're like, that dude, the black astronaut, he just sat there.
Yes, and he was off. He was off. Remember how weird and off he was when they came back?
Yeah, I guess kind of, but I mean, not for, I didn't think it was that pronounced, but.
He was weird.
But anyway, that was a cool thing to do.
Yeah.
A way to be unexpected. I like that. I like when the movies do that.
Me too.
For me, number six is the Borg Cube.
Yeah.
That is just a dope ship. Just a big old square or cube that flies through space and just dominates.
Yeah, that thing crushes its enemies.
And self repairs.
Well, a good segue into my five because it's the Bird of Prey.
Oh, yes.
The Bird of Prey. The Klingon Bird of Prey. Just always so cool.
I'll just admit that it's later in my list.
Yeah.
So I agree with you. It is so cool. And not only does it get invisible, which obviously is awesome.
Yeah, cloaks, right?
But it looks badass.
Yeah.
It looks like a warship. You know,
it looks like the Klingons just kind of threw it together with scrap metal.
But they made it look like a bird.
It's cool.
And then it just, you know, it's got good firepower, and it's just a cool design.
Yep.
You know?
Yep.
It's a design that's not made to look efficient as a ship, but look efficient as a something to look at.
Agreed.
So number five, am I on five?
Yeah, you're on five.
So X-Wing Fighter, so we can go on.
Okay. Four for me is the Star Destroyer.
Oh, absolutely. Now, certain class or just like the one that was in the original film that came overhead?
Yeah, what's the big one called?
So that's the Super Star Destroyer.
The Super Star Destroyer.
And then there's the Imperial Star Destroyer. But it's like Imperial class. There's like Delta class. There's like three classes.
Yeah, I guess I wasn't trying to get too specific.
Well, and I don't think that they got that complicated in the first film. Now, I do also like the Star Destroyer. I don't know what it's called, the Rebels one, or not the Rebels, but the Republic's one, mm-hmm. the clones fought with.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know what those ones were called, but those were cool, too. But
nice.
Yeah, I agree with you. My favorite one will always be the one that came overhead in the first film, because it was just so
massive.
Dominating.
Yeah.
Yeah. For me, it's Bird of Prey at four. So we're just going over. We're going over ground that's already been covered.
Oh, that's funny. okay, well, wonderful. For four, for me, we did three Death Star.
Oh, I didn't even think about that being a spaceship.
Yeah.
I'm in the space station, but it can travel light speeds. So.
Yeah, so again, I tried to warn you. It's a Star Wars theme there.
For me, the number three is Star Destroyer. So, you know, I'm
Star
always behind,
Destroyer.
Just a little bit behind you on most of these.
Hey, no, you're
and
good.
Something tells me we're going to have the same number one.
Well, we'll see. I think you'll be shocked at my number two. I mean, you kind of already said it, but I'm going to get a little more specific. It's Darth Vader's TIE Fighter.
Yes.
Which is
his distinct.
Super distinct.
It had the curved wings.
Yes.
Yep. That one was very cool.
So that's my number two.
Absolutely. It was hard for me not to put that on my list.
Yeah.
But I was afraid I was going to end up with seven Star Wars ships. For me, number two is the Starship Enterprise.
Yeah.
For me, it's absolutely the Next Generation.
Iconic.
I loved it's Picard iconic. And his ship. But I love also the very last episode of Star Trek Next Generation where they're going through time, three different time portals with Q. And I think it's called Best... No, no. All Good Things to Those Who Wait, I think is what it's called. Or All Good Things. That one has a Riker's Enterprise when he becomes the captain. And it's got three things behind it powering it instead of just the two engines. Mm. And it looks really cool. Plus it had a cloaking technology. So I like that one too. But my favorite always be the one with 10 forward. You know, the one from Next Generation.
Sure.
Number one, I'm sure, I know it's got to be the same thing.
Millennium Falcon, yeah. Baby. You know it's number one. Come on.
It's everyone's favorite ship. It's the greatest ship that's ever existed.
Hey, man.
Tell me that when you first saw, when they released it without any warning, like right on Thanksgiving or the day before Thanksgiving, they released the Star Wars Force Awakens, right? Where we had not seen anything about Star Wars yet. We just were waiting.
The first thing you saw was
that. When that was, I mean, the first thing in that, in the trailer, but that moment when the Falcon just blasts off with the music and it does the big loop-de-loop in the sky, and you're like, that's what we've been wanting to see for, you know, 20 years is the Falcon, you know, cruising into, in, you know, like making some aerial acrobatics and stuff.
Yeah, it's certainly an iconic ship. So,
yeah.
Well, let's just throw a couple more, some honorable mentions out there that didn't quite make it on there. The Serenity was one for me. I don't know if you watched
from Firefly?
The show. Yeah, which was a cool ship.
I gotta say, that we were trying on a vaporizer that is Apple something, and
Apple
it's like
Berry.
100% THC or 90%. Man, that was crazy. I took one pull on that thing, and I'm just now starting to like be able to see.
Yeah, that's good. Yeah, what else? Is it the Milano? Is that the one in the Guardians of the Galaxy? Is that the one they're
What
flying?
Is that called? I don't remember. That might be it. I don't. I saw that one. Actually, I thought about putting that on mine because that's a cool ship.
Yeah, Battlestar Galactica didn't quite make my top 10, but that was on my list. The Infinity, which we talked about from the Halo game.
Oh, right.
The Shadow Cruiser from Star Trek, which was really cool.
What was that?
It's from...
Which Shadow
movie
Cruiser.
Is that from? First Contact, I think. Yeah, it's fucking badass.
Oh, the one that Coffin used to go to Lightspeed for the first time ever?
Yes.
Oh, I have no idea what that was called. I'm sure I did, but I don't remember it all.
Is that what it was? No, I don't know if that's it. The Milano. That's the Garden of the Galaxy. That's the Garden of...
That is.
Yeah.
Okay. But, yeah, I think for me, First Contact might be my favorite film. I mean, Wrath of Khan is just wonderful.
Yeah.
But First Contact, that story was so cool. And it was such a neat way. The favorite enemy, I think, of everyone, which is the Borg, and having it come out with, oh, there actually is a central Borg, and it's the very first lady who started it, you know, and then she's absorbed everyone else. I just thought that was a very cool take on it. Plus, seeing Data get skin and what that looks like the thing from, oh, Babylon 5.
That's what it is, Babylon 5.
I've never seen Babylon 5.
Yeah, it's not great, but that thing was so cool.
That's a cool-looking little spider.
Yeah, it's like a spider, yeah.
Wow. I was, I agree with you on Boba Fett.
So is that one. That's pretty
cool. Oh, the one from Star Trek, the first one. Yeah, the Narada. That was cool.
Yeah, Boba
ship.
Fett, that's a good one, man.
Yeah, Boba Fett. And there's a lot of other cool Star Wars ships. I mean, the B-Wing is cool. The A-Wing
is
kind of cool. The Y-Wing is awesome.
Yep.
I love the Y-Wing. The TIE, so the TIE Interceptor, the TIE Bomber.
Yep.
There's the whatever the TIE Fighter is that was actually in Rogue One.
The Nubian ship that they have in Phantom Menace?
Nubian.
The one, the like silver skinned ship that they're flying.
That thing's pretty cool. Yeah. That one is, I didn't like that though because it felt like that looked like old fashioned futuristic, like Flash Gordon. Mm. But I think that was the point.
Yeah.
Was he wanted to make it, you know,
yeah,
pay homage to it.
Older, right? Yeah.
Right. And, but it was just like, but Star Wars had always been so creative, you know? Like Slave One, such a great example because it lands on its lands on its back and it flies face up and you know it's got the bounty hunter ship and it's got those weird bomb the what are those bombs called the ones
thermal detonator
the ones that have no sound
I don't know
from Attack of the Clones the ones that he was shooting at Obi-Wan
shoot bud I don't remember.
dang it, what were those called? I can't remember. But they're seismic, like, charges mm-hmm. that explode out, but they end all sound, and then they, like, suck everything in at the last minute and then, like, collapse things or whatever. It's just a cool bomb. Mm-hmm. I'm sure there's some other ships that we're not even thinking of. Like, you know, you said, like, the alien ship, that's a good one. Or Mother on the original alien ship.
What about the invisible jet?
Oh, Wonder Woman?
Yeah.
I don't know if I've ever seen that in a movie, though.
Yeah, well, because you don't see it.
Right. There's always that dirty joke about Wonder Woman is having sex with someone and on a beach lounger or on a lounging chair, and Superman sees her as he's flying, and he thinks she's just playing with herself because he can't see the invisible man having sex with her. So Superman goes down to give her a quickie, and apparently he just goes down, boom, and shoots off. And then Wonder Woman goes, "What in the world was that?" And the invisible man goes, "I don't know, but my ass sure hurts."
Yep.
Sorry, I like that joke. All righty. I think that's everything we have for today.
Yeah.
So we'll go ahead and wrap up the show. Thanks, everybody, for listening. This is by far our longest show, hour and 21 minutes. So give you plenty to listen to, and we'll try to have another episode for you in about 2 to 3 weeks. That kind of seems to be our time frame. One of these days I'll move closer so that we don't have to drive so far to do a show and make it easier. So any parting words for everyone?
No.
No?
No, it's good. Yeah, good show. It was fun to talk a little Star Wars, go off the cuff there. And I think we got some good topics coming up, guys. So please listen in. And
I will try and get a Twitter account set up and maybe a Instagram. But I don't know if Instagram, I don't know if I need that or not. But you can always check us out on the website we have for our other podcast, which is thesportsoffensive.com. You can check out our show. You can check out JoJo the War Drummer, which is a lacrosse show. You can check out Sports Offensive, which is just a sports show. There's all the and all of our previous episodes are
our
on there.
Strange little family.
Yeah, and we've got lots of gambling advice, and I don't know if I call it advice, a gambling, you know, do as you will, and stuff like that. So, thanks again for everyone for tuning in, and have a great weekend.